What's going on? It's Wednesday. The big guy's excited. I love Wednesdays. You know, for as much work as I do on a Wednesday, you'd think I hate it, but I love it. I just love the process, man. And you know what? The Byron Nelson, it ain't going to scare me. Every mother father that I wanted to play this week may withdraw. You're not going to piss in my Cheerios. I'm playing this week. I'm excited about it. And you know what? The fact that we get to sweat this for the next 4 days is only going to get another major here a little bit quicker. The PGA Championship. I was there last year. Don't want to brag. It was in Tulsa. What's up, new guy? I'm the Degenerate75. I'm a PGA DFS content creator who is here to help you get a little bit better at PGA DFS. I'm going to focus on game theory and teaching you how to play the game. I'm not going to give you picks. If you want picks, that's what everybody else does. Go check them out. You're not going to get that here. Also, if you want a slow, boring talking head, also probably not the place for you. You might want to click off now. But if those two things sound appealing to you, hang around for the next hour. You might like it. And if you really like it, the cut of my jib. Come check out the schedule right here. I do this, the emergency stream. What the hell is this schedule? I brought up the wrong schedule. This isn't even my schedule. Okay, anyways, I do the live stream every Wednesday, Showdown Hoedown Friday and Saturday night, and of course, on Mondays, I do the course preview. This is the old one. What an embarrassment, all right? Let's get going now that I have the wrong schedule up. You're going to want to know, yes, I do a lot of giveaways, okay, because I do sponsor the giveaway. I usually have a sponsor, but this week, no sponsor. So the sponsor this week is me, hashtag not a poor. Okay, please, new guy, remember, being a poor has nothing to do with your financial status. It has to do with your financial state of mind. Furthermore, next week, my one-year anniversary since the first emergency stream. And to celebrate that, I'm going to be doing tons of giveaways because, once again, not a poor. And second of all, I appreciate all of you guys. You guys have helped this channel grow more than I could have ever expected. We are already at over 500 members over on my website, which is like was like my long-term goal, and we're already there. So in honor, I'm going to give away $500, and I wanted to do five $100 giveaways for the Millionaire Maker next week. But DraftKings said, yeah, I hear what you're saying. But no, so we're not going to have that because they don't have that one. So what I'm going to do, and I already know I'm going to regret this shit. I am going to give away 20 $25 tickets that you will get to make with me, and we will split them, okay? So not only do you get a complete free roll for $1 million, well, for $500,000 next week, you'll also get the process of making it with me. And maybe that sounds appealing to you. If it doesn't sound appealing, well, then don't win, okay? So be looking out for that. If you want to win that, all my videos this next week, leave comments, like and retweet over on Twitter when I tell you to, and that will get you in the drawing, and we'll do them all next week on the emergency stream, 7 p.m. Lord's time zone. So be looking out for that. Giving away a lot. Help the channel grow. Tell a friend. You know YouTube ain't going to share my shit. And lastly, I think you need to know, before we get going, I have a problem saying fuck. Okay, look, there that just popped up, all right? And every week when I do it, I put another dollar in the fuck counter, okay? And at the end, I will draw one of you. You will play me, okay? Last week, I played my boy Jay Bonzo, and the mother father beat me. He beat me. I've now lost 2 weeks in a row. Let's give it up for the man. Let's give it up. Teddy, what do you think? What do you think, Teddy?
Pay that man his money.
I think so, Teddy. We're going to pay Jay Bonzo his money. He beat me fair and square. I don't even remember how much was in there, but he's over on the Discord. He'll hit me up. I'll either send you the money on PayPal, or we can play a ticket together. Whatever you want to do, you mother father. So to do that, to simply get in there, just leave a question over here in the chat. Make sure you put a question mark, and I will do a drawing at the end. Editor, right now, give me my first winner to make a ticket with me tonight as I continue on here, okay? And while the editor does that, I'm going to ask all my new guys a very simple question. Have you made your lineups yet? You have. I know you have. I could tell by how sheepish you responded. You've made your lineups. You can't do that. We got too much going on for you to have already made your lineups, new guy. By the way, Lee Rothdahl, you won. Hit me up on Twitter or on the Discord tonight. We'll make a lineup tonight, and I'll put it in the big pitching putt, and we'll go for, I think it's like $200,000, okay? So that's that. So new guy, you can't make your lineups until you watch this stream. You can have some guys you like, but you don't officially lock in your lineups. Okay, we have to talk contest selection. Which, by the way, I want to lead with this. The Fantasy Golf World Championship locks up. There's only 5 more weeks to get in these, right? And then it locks up for the qualification. So if you really are one of those donkeys that want to chase these tickets like me, then you need to get in it. And here's the thing about them: they fill fast. Okay, I'm pretty sure the $10 already filled because I haven't hit refresh yet. The $5 filling fast. The $44 is probably filled, and the 920 will probably be filled soon. So those fill very quick, and I want to tell you about those satellites. They are horrific EV, right? They are just the worst EV you could ever have, because even if you are fortunate enough to win it, you don't see any of that money. You just win a ticket that you don't get to use for several weeks. So just know what you're signing up for when you chase those tickets. I get it. They're fun. I'm spending way too much money on them, but I just want you to understand this, because a big part of being successful at DFS and making it sustainable is not blowing through all your money chasing stupid satellite tickets. Also, another thing about satellites, and I'm leading with this because I don't talk enough about this, is these like 44 tickets, a lot of times if you're up tomorrow, you'll you'll be surprised how many overlays, right? When you see this little green G right there, that means it's guaranteed. That means DraftKings is guaranteeing that money. So anytime you see that and it says guaranteed, that means that they are guaranteeing that ticket, rather it fills or not. So if there's only three people in that right before lock, you should cough up the $4,848 if you're comfortable playing those stakes and play for that. And you only got to beat four people for a $4,000 ticket. That's pretty clutch, right? So always be looking for overlays on satellites. They happen so much more frequently than they do over on the main contest, okay? Speaking of the main contest, let's talk a little bit about them. And the contests are, you know, they're normal, right? The big $20 this week, they put up good contests, but, you know, I just don't ever like to play it when it's 28% to first. Is second place half a first? No, then I'm usually out, okay? That's the general rule I follow, right? The big $5 is solid this week. They actually bumped it up to $50,000 up top instead of $25,000, which I actually kind of like. I actually kind of like that because it's still only 16% up top, so it still leaves a relatively balanced payout structure, right? You know, the $200 single entries I've not been in love with recently, but, you know, if you're playing medium to higher stakes, the $250 max, the $100 single entry, those are great. If you're playing lower stakes, of course, the $3.20 max, all of those, right? The same thing I say every week. So instead of just going over the same contest, I want to teach you a lesson that I've been telling a lot of people today over on the Discord, right? They often say, you know, I'm playing X amount of money. What contest should I play in? And everybody picks their contest and then picks their strategy. And I want to implore you, new guy, to try this out, okay? Every week, go by Wednesday, you should start having a pretty good idea what your strategy is going to be for the week. Who are some guys you're going to play? Who are some guys you're going to fade? Who are some guys you're going to be overweight on? Who are some sleepers you like? Is there any weather edge you're considering, right? All of those things should already be stirring around your head, and you should be formulating a plan. And by Wednesday, afternoon, evening, you should know, is this plan super aggressive? Is this, you know, mildly aggressive? Is it kind of a bitch, you know, I'm playing like a wiener? You got to ask yourself that, right? And if you find that you're making really, really contrarian plays, you like a lot of sleepers, you're going to fade Scheffler, you're going to fade Day, or you're going to make all these bold moves. Well, if you're going to do that and you're spending, let's say, $100 for the week, you don't want your one lineup to probably be in the $100 single entry. Because when you're taking all that risk, right, when you're fading big names and really good plays like Scheffler and Day, and it comes to fruition and you hit it, you want that to pay huge dividends, right? And $100 single entry, you may be only playing a few hundred people. So if you fade those guys, that's awesome. It's going to do you well in that $100 single entry, but you would have been so much better playing 20 lineups in the $5, mixing and matching your 20 lineups with your player pool and still making those bold fades, because then Scottie Scheffler finishes T58, Jason Day misses the cut, one of your sleepers finishes T3, right? And all those things work out for you. Now you don't want to be beating a couple people in the $100 single entry. You want to be beating tens of thousands of people in the $5. So quit letting your contest selection come before your strategy. Pick your strategy for the week and get an idea. Gauge, am I playing soft? Am I playing conservative? Am I playing super aggressive? And then let that dictate what kind of contest you play in for the week. Okay, that is how you do contest selection. I formulate my plan usually by Tuesday night because I got to go reserve all my shit, right? This week, I'm playing super aggressive. That is why I'm not playing in any higher dollar single entries, right? I'll save that shit for showdown. But for week long, I am spraying and praying in a bunch of higher entry, lower dollar contests, right? Because I'm letting my strategy dictate my contest. Okay, make sense? Cool. Let's move on. Of course, the best contest you should be in is this one right here. It's mine completely free. It is in the description of this stream right here. Go hop in it. No strings attached. Winner gets a free ticket on me and a week on the Discord. And second place also gets a week on the Discord because it sucks to get second. And I just literally got a text from my host the second before this. You probably saw me sitting down my phone as the stream came on. I have my own contest now. Starting next week, there will be a $5 three max with 750 people in it. So we have got to fill that next week. It's my first week. I can't not fill it on my first week. So be looking out for that. Of course, it will be reduced rate. It will be a nice flat payout structure. It'll be awesome. So check that out. It'll be similar, you know, like what Pat Mayo and the Fantasy Golf Degenerates have. It'll be just like that, except probably smaller because, you know, like they've been around for a hot minute and they're all, you know, really good at what they do. So be looking out for that. But in the meantime, playing this one last time, and I'll be doing a giveaway. And just so you know, next week, now I will be tossing extra bonus prizes on top of that contest I'm going to be playing in. I'll bribe you, mother fathers, if this is the last thing I do. Hey, last week's winner of my contest, Pinhai Sensei. There you go, Pinhai Sensei. Right, stuck it right next to the pin. You win. I'm pretty sure he's already reached out to me. We're making a ticket tonight, unless you want to save it for the PGA Championship. And if you're not already on the Discord, reach out to the editor. He'll get you on there. And Fausto, reach out to the editor. Show him this picture. You get a free week on the website too, right? Website, Discord, it's the same damn thing. Second question, new guy. What's the first thing we always check when it comes to PGA DFS? Okay, very good, new guy. I think you looked up the answer ahead of time, but good job. It is. It's the weather / wind. All right, and I'm going to be the first to tell you. I'm going to hit refresh. By the way, if you don't know, new guy, I'm filthy rich, and I can afford the $18 a year subscription to Windy.com. If I have to see one more person talk about golf using the Weather Channel, I'm going to vomit. Okay, the Weather Channel is a joke. Okay, I heard they do ads. Okay. So this has all of the major projections that are out there, right? And I've got like a couple. For whatever reason, I'm real big in the weather nerd club, and I've got a lot of weather nerds that follow me, and they're always like, this is the projections you should use for 24 to 48 hours. And I'm like, cool, you know, like, you got to know your lane. Those guys know their lane. It's called being a huge weather nerd. Okay, so I've learned a little bit about this. I have the best, the newest, hottest, freshest projections, and I want to tell you this before we get started. I have been hitting refresh today, and they keep changing on me, okay? I mean, what has remained steady is the fact that Thursday morning appears to be the optimal scoring conditions, right? Dallas, which they're in the greater Dallas area. Okay, if you don't know, they're right here in McKinney, which is just northeast of Dallas, in the I believe it's a suburb. And it has been raining there today. Okay, so if it's raining there today, it's safe to assume that tomorrow morning the course is going to be a roo-roo soft. Okay, once again, we're not playing in cold weather, so it's already, by the time that the sun pokes up tomorrow, it's already going to be 67 degrees. So you're not going to have to worry about those guys all bundled up playing in cold conditions and their ball not flighting correctly because of the cold weather, right? So from the second they get out there on a soft course, there's going to be, it appears, next to no winds for the first 4 hours they're out there. The first tee time is 6:50, and we're not going to see any significant wind till probably between 10 and 11 o'clock, okay? That is a lot of good golf to get in ideal scoring conditions, right? Furthermore, it doesn't seem like it picks up sustained till about 1 o'clock. So it would appear as though the entire morning wave tomorrow is going to get almost, I would guess even the guys that go out the latest are going to get 3/4 of their round in peak scoring conditions, meaning that they're going to have fresh greens that aren't all trampled. They're going to have soft greens, so they're going to be receptive to throwing darts. They're going to be out there and next to no wind for most of the round, and those are the things you need. Does that mean that they're magically going to score well because they're in the best conditions? No, but what it does do is it says that if they are out there and they are playing their good game, they're going to score a lot better than if they're playing their best game in the afternoon. Because as you can see, tomorrow afternoon, it gets a little spicy, right? It's going to be 17, 18, mile an hour winds with that sustained with 24 mile an hour gust, and I will be the first to tell you this course ain't hard, but any course gets a little bit harder when you got 17 to 18 mile an hour winds. Okay, so you're saying, well, what about Friday? Because for it to be a true week-long edge, we have to know what we're going to do at Friday. So let me switch to my other projections, because that's how fancy I am. And you go over and you look, and this hasn't updated in 3 hours and 28 minutes. We're waiting for NAM to update. But it would appear as though Friday morning is going to be pretty blustery, right? The winds are going to be lower, but the gusts are going to be higher, okay? And then it would appear as though it is going to, later in the day, the winds will pick up, but they will be, the gusts will be less. So it's really just pick your poison. But the point being is Friday, the scoring conditions do not look as great as Thursday morning specifically. So here's what I want you to do. This is how you draw conclusions from this. You have to ask yourself this. When all things are equal, I've said this more than once, and I will always credit Tambo with being the first one to ever say this. When all things are equal, especially when it comes to my scrubs, I always err on the side of playing PM/AM guys. But when I look at this right here, I don't see everything being equal, okay? I see what I would call the best scoring conditions are definitely, definitively going to be Thursday morning. For the first 2 days, the best scoring conditions will be Thursday morning. That's not even debatable, okay? So how do I use that information when making my player pool? Well, I think it would be a fool if you just instantly X'd out everybody that's in a PM/AM wave, right? Which is a lot of the very best players in this field. Scottie Scheffler, Jason Day, a lot of those guys, right? A lot of them are on that wave. So if you just instantly X them out because of this little weather edge on Thursday, I think you are losing sight of this. Where this really comes into play is when you're picking your sleepers, when you're picking your pivots, and when you're picking your, guys that you're not in love with, but you need, some guys in that $7,200 range. This is where it can become vital, okay? Because let's just use Charlie Hoffman as an example, okay? I don't know. I always pick old Chuck Hoffman. Charlie Hoffman tomorrow morning, I don't even know if he has a morning tee time off the top of my head. So maybe this is a terrible example, but just say Charlie Hoffman has a morning tee time and he goes out and he shoots a -6 or -7 tomorrow, right? Basically, you can already guarantee, almost certainly guarantee, with as easy as this course will be, even on Friday with some wins, that he will make the cut. So you will have already got him through because he had great scoring conditions and he was playing well, and he'll already be through. Furthermore, you have him, and now if he just goes and plays one more good round on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, he'll almost certainly get you a top 25 because he has one of those good rounds in the bag. This is why I love to play my sleepers, my pivots, and my scrubs all from the peak scoring conditions, okay? They may not do shit Friday, but I am banking that they are going to go get their slice of pie while it's best on Thursday morning. And that is how I use it, right? I am not going to look at this and say, well, can't play Scottie Scheffler now. That's not how it works, okay? But what I am saying is, weather doesn't seem to affect the studs, but you know who it does affect? Fucking slapdicks, okay? That's who it affects, all right? So if I can get those guys any little bit of edge to get me some more six of sixes through, or to get me a guy to finish in the top 25 that normally would have finished T50th, then that's what I'm going to do. That's how I use the weather. That's how I'll play it. You take as much or as little information of this as you want. I'm just telling you what I see, and of course it's weather. It's subject to change, but that is how I will be implementing it. Take as much or as little as you want, brother. All right, let's move on. The next thing I am a sweaty tryhard at is ownership. And if I've heard this one more time, a lot of seals around here, always talking, the chalk always gets there. Okay, no it doesn't. And stop barking, seals. All right. So another week of tracking it. Our big three chalk donkeys that we tracked last week, Victor Hovland coming in at 30%, Cam Young at 36. Oh my God, that made me want to jump off a building. Keith Mitchell at 15 were our three big chalk donkeys. You can see how the pivots did. Fitz did not outscore Hovland, but Homa did. Cam Young got outscored by Ricky and Kim, and Keith Mitchell outscored Shane Lowry, but got outscored by Kuchar. So now for the year, it has finally happened. The pivots are 50-50 versus the chalk so far this year. So for all of you that think that the chalk always gets there, we have now tracked it over 25 tournaments. Three different people every week with two different pivots, one being medium-owned, one being really low-owned. You can see that exactly 50% of the time the chalk has gotten there and 50% of the time the pivots get there, right? So now what you really want to know is the average ownership of those chalk donkeys is 20%, and the average ownership of our first pivot is only 10%, and of the second one, our low-owned guy, is only 8%. So you're getting 2.5 to 1 leverage by just fading the chalk. But please hear me on this, because this is what all the dumbasses misquote me on. I play chalk every week. I even play donkey chalk. Hell, I played Cam Young last week and woke up vomiting when I saw his ownership, okay? But the key is knowing which chalk to play, how much of it to play, and which ones to avoid, right? And so that is what we are going to try to find out today by looking at our top 10 most popular golfers projected for this week. You would be lying to yourself if you said that this show and other shows that put up projections, people see this and then they go zig off of it, right? So it's a moving target. So we're doing our best here. But this is me factoring in the moving target aspect of it, right? Scottie Scheffler, I originally had it only like 34% in my original rough draft ownership. But I could just see once I finalized my projections and put them out over on my site, I just saw that people go off projections. That is the number one thing that correlates to Wednesday's theme. And his projections this week are outrageous. Outrageous. So, Scottie Scheffler, I've got coming in right at 40%, which sucks because that's basically the exact same he is in the optimizer, which leaves us with the question, what the hell do we do with him this week, right? It's so hard to fade a guy that is showing up in the optimizer 40% of the time. If you don't know, new guy, an optimizer is how likely they are to be in the perfect lineup, and he is showing up in it 40% of the time. So, like, just know if you fade Scheffler right there, there's a 40% chance your ass is grass this week, okay? So that makes it really hard to fade him. And then if you do play him, what do? You play him just at 40% and just be a bitch hedge and just play him at the field average, or do you put on your big kid pants and go all in on him, right? This is a tough situation to do with Scottie. We've been seeing this over and over this year. Him and Rom are like god level status right now, and you got to ask yourself, like, can I really just fade this guy? I think you're, you know, I don't know the answer. If I knew the answer, I'd tell you, but I don't. But I do. What I do know is Scottie Scheffler at 40% is the definition.
The man's donkey chalk, and we don't play donkey chalk.
We don't play it, do we? That's right. We don't play it except when we do, or if they're 40% in the optimizer, then we really consider it. Okay. From there, Jason Day. Underpriced. Let's just face it. Jason Day should be like probably 9,900, maybe somewhere 9,900 to 10,200 this week. Coming in at a smooth 27%. You know, I guess he's, you know, people aren't worried about the vertigo. Hopefully he doesn't stand up too fast and get dizzy and fall over and thump a skull. But anytime Jason Day is 27%, you've got guys directly next to him at like 10%, you know what's coming.
The man's donkey chalk, and we don't play donkey chalk.
I don't think so, pal. Jason Day, not today. Okay? Jason Day at 27% is just gross donkey chalk. You go play all the Jason Day you want. I'll play. Tyrrell Hatton's a bit more nuanced, though, right? He's 10,100, and he is kind of his ownership is largely a victim of Jordan Spieth withdrawing. By the way, new guy. Jordan Spieth withdrew. Did you know that? I hope so. Good. That's why you're here. So when he withdrew, a little bit of that ownership probably went to Scheffler, but I think a lot of it went to Tyrrell Hatton. If you had Spieth at 20%, I think Hatton would have been closer to like 18%, which I would have been pumped to play. But now he's eating up a lot of that ownership because we know with only two guys and five figures, people are going to spend their money this week. So that is naturally going to give ownership to Hatton and to Scheffler as the only two five-figure options. So with that, I'm going to cut him a break. And believe it or not, I'm only going to call him Chalk, okay? You can't call him Donkey Chalk when he's right next to Scotty Scheffler, okay? So it's right on the line, though, right? And you know I love me a good hunchback. From there, Tom Kemp, 22.9%. I honestly thought he was going to be the second highest owned guy this week, but I guess people aren't on Tom Kemp mania. I think this is a perfect fit for him. I like how his game is trending, and I always love Tom Kemp at a birdie fest. So when you look at him sandwiched right there between Day and Matsuyama and Hatton, yes, his ownership is high, but is it out of line compared to the people around him? I don't think so. So we're just going to give him Chalk, okay? Chalk. Hideki, of all the top six guys or top five guys, is definitely the lowest. So, you know, like his ownership, I guess, is you know, it's whatever, right? I don't even think I would really call it Donkey Chalk. I'm going to make a audible right here, Omaha. And we're going to go, we're just going to call him OK Chalk because he's the lowest of all the guys up there, right? I get that 19% is rather high, but there's just only so many options up there with Spieth withdrawing now and Scotty Scheffler skewing everything by being so expensive. From there, old Matt Kuchar, I believe he turned, hold on, let me check, 156 this week. Very special birthday, so you got to watch out for that. Matt Kuchar is coming in at 18%, when literally guys right on top of him and right below him are 10%. Matt Kuchar at 18%, you know what's coming.
The man is Donkey Chalk, and we don't play Donkey Chalk.
We don't do it. Except when we do, unless it's Matt Kuchar. Then we never do. You go play, I'll save all the Matt Kuchar for you, new guy. All right, Ben Griffin coming in at a smooth 17.7% on an island of guys that are 5%, 6%, and you're going to go play Ben Griffin. Did you know he was once an accountant and now he's a professional golfer? What a heartwarming story. Well, let me tell you something. I don't give a fuck.
The man is Donkey Chalk, and we don't play Donkey Chalk.
We don't play it. By the way, I definitely dropped a couple F-bombs. That is gross Donkey Chalk. I truly believe if one guy is going to get a little bit of Wednesday night steam, it's going to be old Steven Yeager. People in this community love this guy. He's a stat model darling, and people go, oh my God, did you see that ball striking? And so I think he's going to get some steam. If he comes in at 18, 19% tomorrow, will not surprise me at all. The only thing that is semi-suppressing Jaeger's ownership is there is a lot of very appealing options in the very low 8Ks in that high 7K range. Okay, and people want to attack it. That's the only thing I could keep seeing, keeping his ownership muted a little bit, right? So I think, I hate to do this, it's mainly just because it's Steven Yeager, and I think everybody that plays him is a...
The man is Donkey Chalk, and we don't play Donkey Chalk.
Except when we do. Brandon Wu. Brandon Wu is definitely what I would call, you know, at 14.5%, he's right there, but everybody in that range is like 10 or 11%. So I'm just going to call him Chalk. I don't love it. K.H. Lee, your two-time defending champion, a man who has roasted this course both times he's played it, is a smooth 14%. If you want to call that chalk, you clearly don't understand the term chalk. If you want to call that chalk, he's just okay chalk.
Okay.
That's all he is. Adam Schenck. I had to like go check my numbers 58 times because why Adam Schenck is coming in at 13%, I will never know. I will never get this because what? He played well at a tournament because he's a farmer or some shit like that? Who cares? Adam Schenck, that man...
The man is Donkey Chalk, and we don't play Donkey
Except
Chalk.
Except when we do. But I'm telling you, man, if I've learned one thing from this pivot tracker this year, the worst chalk to eat is these guys in the 7,000s, right? The one chalk that has definitely paid off this year has been the high-end guy. So if you want to go off this pivot tracker, if you think this thing is telling the truth, Scotty Scheffler would be the chalk to eat, Jason Day to a lesser extent, but the guys you definitely should not eat would be Ben Griffin and Adam Schenck. It has been proven over the last 25 tournaments we've tracked, okay? And lastly, Jimmy Walker, almost 7%. When nobody's really getting any ownership down there, it just seems a little weird. I'm a Jimmy Walker truther. I love Jimmy Walker on easy courses. I remember paying $10,200 to play Jimmy Walker back in 2016 on every easy course because the guy was a birdie machine, so I kind of get it. But, yo, he's like 158 years old also, right? I think him and Kuchar have the same birthday. So because of that, I think we're going to call him, let's pump the brakes. If you want to play him, I get it. But, like, do you really want to fall in love with 7% on Jimmy Walker when there's guys just as talented as him at 1% right next to him? These are questions that only you can answer. So that's ownership. Remember, as always, I can't believe I have to say this every week.
you can play Donkey Jock. I've won 5 GPPs this year, and every single one of those GPPs had at least 2 players at over 20%. So to say, oh, that's the guy that never plays Donkey Jock. Oh, really? Go look at my lineups. But what I do is every time I play one of these donkey dicks in my lineups is I'm aware, hey, I need to make sure I get a pivot in here. I need to make sure I get a couple sleepers in here. I need to make sure that this build looks different. I don't want to start Scotty Scheffler, Tom Kim, because that's how everybody starts a build. Scotty Scheffler, Jason Day. I'm going to build different. I'm going to go Scotty Scheffler and then go grab 4 8K guys and a 6K guy. No one's going to build like that. So that is how I use it. That is how I use what kind of chalk they are to better my process. That is how you use it. It doesn't mean you never play Donkey Chalk, and it doesn't mean you always go play OK Chalk, okay? Good. Hope you get this one day. Hey, I still got over 200 lineups to make tonight. Thank God I have the solver right here, and all my projections are already loaded in there, so I'll be able to go make all my lineups after the stream with all our winners, and I will be able to make all of my lineups, because if you don't know, the big guy likes to play a little bit. I dabble in the DFS fields, okay? So how am I going to do it? I'm going to use the solver, right? And you're like, well, I can't afford that. That's like hundreds of dollars every month. Wrong. $25 a month. See my little showdown hoedown symbol right there? If you want all my projections for week long, round 1, round 2, round 3, round 4 showdown, and all my ownership, it's automatically loaded in there, and it will make the best versions of your player pool. Is it going to magically give you lineups that are going to be the answer to the universe? No, you still have to do the process. You still have to make a good player pool, but once you do it, it will make the best versions of that player pool. I encourage you to check it out. Use my little landing page if you want my projections, okay? Let's get over to the model, because if you don't know, the model is life, and it has all the answers to the universe. All right. The first one is, here's my model. First of all, shocking news, right? I made a model, and hey, Scotty Scheffler, not number 1 in the model. What's going on? What is going on? Who's number 1 in my model? Wait, where'd he go? Sam Stevens? Where am I at? Where? What universe is this? Sam Stevens is number 1 in the model. Ariel Hatton is number 2, right? And then Scotty Scheffler's number 3. So I don't know if I made a really good model or a really bad model. But some things that I looked at are proximity over 200 yards, approach over their last 12 rounds, ball striking over their last 12 rounds, because you're going to have to get it done off the tee and on approach around here, bob or better gained on easy and average courses. That's birdie or better, brother. Bent grass putting, easy and average courses total. I want to know who scores well on these easy to average courses. Everybody's saying this is going to be an easy course. I'm not with them on that. I think this course is going to play closer to average. I don't think you're going to see a minus 26 winning score. I think you're going to see something closer to minus 19 to minus 21 range. And I was saying that even before they switched the one par 4 or par 5 to a par 4. Ops gain, that's opportunities gained within 15 feet. Who's consistently giving themselves those good birdie looks? Good drives. You've got to be out there hitting good drives, which then lead to greens and regulation. You got to have birdie putts all day around here. And lastly, who scores well on those 450 to 500 yard par 4s on easy and average courses? I don't care about the fucking US Open, all right? So from there, let's go look at the model and see what it says. First of all, know that Jordan Spieth has withdrawn, okay? So don't play him. Scotty Scheffler is just number 1 in 3 different categories and top 5 in 3 others, so he could never do good. Terrell Hatton looks incredible in the model. The only one is he's not great from 200 yards plus. I don't know. Not sure what that's all about, but it is a thing, okay? Hideki doesn't look as good in the model. He's not great at 200 yards plus, and he's not good at putting. The 200 yards plus is surprising. The not good at bent grass putting is, let me put it mildly, not surprising, Bob. Tom Kim looks great in the model. Tom Kim is seems to be trending in the right direction to me. This course seems laid out for him, and I know it's early in his career, but look at this. This guy is an easy course killer. He kills easy courses, so I'm surprised that Tom Kim isn't getting more love. I guess people are like over their models and stuff. Jason Day, weirdly enough, I like Jason Day more at grinder courses. So if everybody wants to play him at this quote-unquote easier average course, you go right on ahead. But to me, once you get past Jason Day, this is where it really starts to get into game theory. And if you're really about that pivot life, I think you really want to consider this range right here. Basically, Aaron Wise all the way to KH Lee is pivot zone, right? Kuchar is sandwiched in there as a chalk donkey, but KH Lee, Adam Scott, Siwoo Kim, Seamus Power, Maverick McNealer, Taylor Montgomery, Benny Ann, Tom Hoagie, Minwoo Lee, Aaron Wise are all right there. And all of them, in my opinion, are under-owned for what they offer as far as upside, right? So I would say that this GPP will be won in this range. Someone is going to have the stones to play one or two of these guys in a lineup, and they're going to break the slate at undervalued ownership, and they're going to kill it. Right, I just think that that's where it's going to be. This range right here from 9,300 down to 8,300. That is a range that will determine who wins the GPP this week. So find who you really like in this range. Have a reason to play him, right? And if you only want to play Kuchar from that range, well, just know you're like the rest of the field and you're a donkey. All right, from there,
This is like becoming a thing in PGA DFS. This low 8 and upper 7K range, it's just becoming the most popular part of every single week, right? Look at Steven Yeager, Adam Hadwin, by the way, JJ Spahn withdrew, Bez, Riley, Bramlett, Gordon, Stallings, Kim, Stevens, Griffin, they're all going to get ownership. Like, all these guys are more owned than all those guys I just told you that are going to be skipped. So I think right here, you want to tread lightly. You want to pick one or two of these guys, commit to them, and just fade the rest of these assholes and just hope that your guys outscore those other guys in that range. That's the way to play it. Don't sprinkle 10 or 12% of all these guys because you're just playing the rake at that point. Pick your guys and get the hell out of this range. I encourage you, from Steven Yeager down to Ben Griffin, try to only have two or three of those guys total in your player pool. Okay, you'll be better for it. After that, after Ben Griffin, it really, you know, with the exception of old Shank Eponymous, I don't. There's really no one getting too out of line down here, right? And there's some really good players. The model loves Eric Cole. The model loves Dylan Wu. I think Matthew Neesmith is a great fit at this course, and he seems to be trending. Garrett Kego at a birdie fest? If that's the narrative you're buying, sign my ass up. Adam Shank, I would be interested in Adam Shank, but the day I play a 13% owned Adam Shank, when there's like 2% Patton Kizire right next to him, will be the day I will quit DFS. You want to give me 6.5-1 Adam Shank versus Patton Kizire? You slip right on into my DMs tonight. From there, there's just all kinds of high upside guys here. Robbie Shelton, Nate Lashley, DeFew, Norman, Palmer in Texas, Jimmy Walker, Lipsky, Duncan, these guys, EVR and Hoffman. This range right here, this low 7K range, all these guys have the exact same upside as those guys in the upper 7Ks. The only difference between these guys down here is they just don't offer you the safety. They are more likely to miss the cut, right? They're more likely to implode. But I'm telling you that these guys have, Ryan Palmer, Hoffman, they have the same top five upside as almost all these guys in the upper 7Ks, yet they will be criminally underowned simply because people want to feel safe. And if you're trying to feel safe in GPPs, brother, you're playing them wrong. You're playing them wrong. All right, from there, moving on down, let's get on down into Sleeperville. What is this Pearson Cootie guy? I don't know. I think he's talented. I think he's going to be a star. Do I want to be early to the party? He is from Texas. This is in Texas. Is that enough narrative? Maybe. I do think he will be the highest owned guy in the 6Ks, but I don't think he'll be so highly owned you need to get off of him. My dude, Carl Yoon, I'd be the first to admit I got a problem with Carl, okay? But I will tell you this about him. The guy just seems like he is going to pop at one of these things and get like a second or maybe even still a victory, right? Something to consider. Lots of sleepers this week. Let's see. Vince Whaley's back, right? Remember when everybody used to play Vince Whaley? Now he's back. No one's going to play that guy in the modal. You know, there's some things to like. He's really good at bent grass putting. That's all I need to see. Okay. If you want one more sleeper, a really gross one, another high upside guy that you may go down in flames on, check out my boy Austin Eckroat, right? Go Pokes. All right. He's really good at 200 yards plus, and he can roll it on the bent greens. All I need. That's all I need, right? And I play too much of him at Showdown, so I can tell you. He makes a lot of birdies, but he also makes a lot of bogeys. All right. There you go. That is the model, right? We talked about where the ownership is falling. It's going to be in this Jason Day up. All these guys are probably going to be 20% plus, right? Well, not Jordan Spieth because he withdrew. The great pivot range is this KH Lee, basically all the way down to Aaron Wise, with the only exception being Matt Kuchar, right? So that is the range where you really need to make your stands. And then I'm telling you, instead of just pivoting off of a guy, instead of this guy, I'll play this guy. I want you to consider pivoting off of ranges. Try to get more into this 8K range this week if you want to pivot, and stay away from this upper 7K range. Okay, don't pivot off this guy to this guy. Pivot off this range to this range. I'm telling you, it's a really unique way to build your lineup and can keep you different. And the sad story is, these guys right here in the 8,000s are probably, you know, just slightly, almost the exact same as these guys, and they're going to be one third the ownership. So, there you go. Got a couple sleepers, got a couple pivots, and we got Sam Stevens, who's now a model god. Which brings me to, who is the one guy I am definitely not playing this week? Well, the one guy I am definitely not playing this week is coming in, what was he? At a smooth 27%? Not in this lifetime. Am I going to play a man with vertigo who is looking for a reason to bitch quit the week before a major? The one guy I'm definitely not playing, I don't care what your stupid projections say, the one man we are not playing, his name's Jason Day. Not a chance we're playing Jason Day. Polly, tell him.
Get the fuck out of here.
Not a chance. All right. Which leads me to, who is the one guy I am definitely playing this week? I have to pay pittance for what I did last week. I selected Cam Young, and I really did play him. And he came in at 36%. And the second I saw that, I wanted to
gouge out my eyeballs with a dull knife. Okay, never again will I play Chuck. That disgusting. I had no idea he was going to be 36%. The Wednesday night steam is a real thing. So I have to make up for that this week, and I had to find somebody that I'm going to play that is more my style and not a Chuck Donkey SOB. So the one guy I'm playing this week is a guy that we haven't seen in a hot minute. He is a guy that should probably be priced more like $95 to $9,700, yet we're getting him significantly cheaper than this. If you go off his talent, I think he's about the fifth most talented person in this field. If you go off his ability to completely roast a course, I think he's the third best player in this field. And what everybody's going to do is they're going to be too scared to play him because we haven't seen him in a hot minute. But last time I checked, I'm playing GPPs, and I don't give a fuck, so I'm going to play him because I'm playing to win. I think if I think that fading him is a fool's move, and I think that playing him is a wise move. So, because his name is Wise, I think we're gonna have to start calling him Yoda around here. The one man I am definitely playing this week. We're playing Aaron Wise. We're gonna play Aaron Wise.
Play me, you must.
Look, he's Yoda. You like that? Look at that. Look at those ears. You want to play that guy? I would not fade that guy. Look at him. I've heard he has the Force. I heard the Force is strong with this one, all right? There you go. The one guy I'm playing this week, because I have balls when it comes to PGA DFS, it's Aaron Wise, all right? You don't have to tell me. Matter of fact, I hope you don't, because I want to get him at 4% ownership, you dicks. All right, from there, let's go. Let's get over to the website. Hey, come check out my website. It is growing very quickly. You want to be part of the best community out there? Come do it. We have all kinds of winners that I want to celebrate. My dude, Shalop 23, winning a ticket last week. Yanni, DePeach, JT Gap, JJS, all kinds of guys winning. Big shout out to all those guys. And of course, I have the best tool in all of PGA DFS called the Rosetta Stone. Here's the one for the Mexico Open right here, right? You can see I have everything you need on it. So you are just trying to get all this caught up on Wednesday night. You don't have time to look at this stuff 60 hours a week like sweaty tryhards like I do. That is what this is for. This takes all the sweaty tryhard and puts it one place for you. Come check it out. And of course, don't forget to like and subscribe this stream. It helps a lot. YouTube don't share my shit, and I'm pretty niche, okay? Nobody wants to find the guy that doesn't give picks. I just want my picks, and I want to get off of here. Okay, well, I'm not your channel, all right? Hey, Best Ball, I'm telling you, check this out. I made a video over it the other day over on Underdog. They're doing Best Ball. If you played it for football, they have it for PGA and the majors. It is a blast. It is huge prizes. Use my promo code right there, Degenerate75, all caps, and I will give you all the way through the PGA Championship free on my site if you sign up using my landing page, right? Or using my little code there, right? It's all you got to do. And if you're already a member, don't worry. We're doing another giveaway, so go get your wife to sign up. All right, let's do those giveaways. Editor, over here, the first one. Tell me, who is winning a ticket with me tonight, editor? And then right after that, I need you to also draw who is playing me for the F counter, which is pretty low tonight. Did I really cuss that little? I think we got to at least get this to 10. Fuck. All right, Joe Whalen. Hey, Vince Whaley. Joe Whalen? I feel like that's a sign. Joe, send me a DM tonight. We're going to play a lineup together. All right, or if you want to save for PGA, that's up to you. And to play me in the F counter, Brett Noble. A good man, a noble man. All right, let's see. So there you go. That is it. I'm going to do one more drawing after we get to the questions. So if you have any questions, get them over there now. I'm going to go answer some questions, and let's talk them through. What do we peak at tonight? Like 202-something, 230, 250, something like that? Good crowd. It saddens me that not everybody is as pumped as me to play on a non-major week. All right, here we go. Question number one. Happy one-year anniversary, big guy. It's doing that thing again, editor. We're going to do this. It's doing it again. Okay. Let's see. Happy one-year anniversary, big guy. One question. Single-entry GPP, fade Scotty or play Scotty and fade other Donkey Chalk? Yeah, Eric, that's a great question, and the answer is this. Who do you like more? If you don't love any of the chalk this week and you're scared of Scotty, well, then go play Scotty and then pivot off the other chalk. If you're lukewarm on Scotty, well, then go play the other chalk that you do like and fade Scotty, right? Let that dictate it. But you are thinking the correct way. You're going to have to do one of those two things. So I like how you're asking. How does one win? You enter the best lineup. Oh, you're not talking about GPPs? Yeah, you're going to want to get in. They'll be leaving comments on my YouTube videos this week and liking and retweeting on Twitter whenever all my PGA Championship stuff comes up, brother. All right, with playing lower bankroll, most $50 a week, what tournament would you recommend us targeting? I always love the $1.20 max. If you want more than that, maybe check out something like the 50 cent so you can enter 100 lineups in that if you want to MME. But I love the $3.20 max, the $1.20 max, the $3.3 max, the $8.3 max, tournaments like that.
this is what I'm going to tell you. Let your strategy for the week dictate the tournament you play in. If you like a very small player pool of, say, 10 guys, well, then take your $50 and go play in the $20 3 max. Or go hop in Pat Mayo's contest. He has a $15 3 max. That would be perfect for your $50 budget. If you find you like 20 guys, well, then go make 100 lineups and put it in the 50 cent. Let your strategy and the number of guys you like dictate the contest you play in. That would be my answer, brother. What was on Scotty's ownership in single entry? You can usually multiply it times 20%, Cody. So if I have him at 40, I bet he'll be about 48% is a good general rule on how single entry affects chalk, which, by the way, I think makes him unplayable. What salary range has the lowest ownership? Definitely that 8K range I talked about, Sean, that what was it? Aaron Wise all the way up through KH Lee range. I mean, it has ownership because people are going to spend their money, but relative to what you would expect, it is the lowest, right? Tom Kim season, Andrew, I feel like it is. I feel like it is, your mother father. Golf, yeah, I'm all about some golf. Did I shoot a 78 this week? Yeah. Yeah, I did. Did I club twirl like Tiger Woods? Yeah. Yeah, I did. Did I chip once? No, I didn't. I Texas wedged 7 different times. That's why I shot such a good round. Okay? Because a bad putt's always better than a bad chip, all right? Now, somebody would probably drive by and be like, why are you putting from 30 yards off the green? And I'd say, shut your mouth, all right? I'm a magic man with a Texas wedge. All right, best guy in the lower 7Ks? That's a good question, Hannah. Let's go look, sister. Give me some, you know what? Give me a little Ryan Palmer. The model likes Ryan Palmer. I like Ryan Palmer. You know me. I'm model is life for me. What's the worst Scotty can do and still be optimal? Kevin, this is a question that people always misconstrue. Scotty could actually finish like 35th and still be in the optimal, right? The practical optimal if like all everybody else misses the cut, right? Now, he could also win the tournament and not be in the optimal if like 3 or 4 9K guys smash and are very close to him in points, right? So it's really about how he does relative to the people that would be in lineups that he's not, right? So if like, you know, if you play him and then Hatton and Decky and Kim all miss the cut or finish T58, he doesn't have to do near as well to be in the practical optimal, and that just basically means a lineup that people would actually build. Okay, you know, have you ever seen those optimals? Like the optimal this week was 43,600. Ain't nobody ever gonna build that lineup, so shut the fuck up with it. Okay, from there, just getting to questions. Hashtag lot of not a pores here. Lot of not a pores here. Oh, did I scroll all the way down? Editor, this is brutal, bro. Okay, moving on. What's up, Joanne? How you doing, sister? Getting to questions. Big guy, how does you had to be a GOAT teacher? What subject to teach? I taught AP US history, which, by the way, the editor made a 5 on that exam. Okay, he was one of my students. AP government and AP human geography. You don't know what AP stands for? That stands for advanced placement. That's where you pass the test. You're a high schooler, you take it, you pass the test, you get college credit, right? That's all AP is. There you go. What is it, Tom Hoagie kind of week? I mean, he was going to be my one guy I was going to play this week, Jeff, and I still might play him, but because I wanted to do a whole cheesesteak Hoagie thing, but then I realized Aaron Wise was the answer to the universe. Okay, play him you must. All right, not a poor. Favorite thing to say now. Don, if you go around every day just telling people not a poor, right? I tipped a guy the other day, and it was like a position that you could tell they never get tipped, and they like looked at the $5 bill, like what to do. I was just like, I winked at him. I said, I'm not a poor. they just laughed. I don't think they even knew what they were laughing at, but they did laugh. It was a nice moment we had. All right. How much more on Scotty do you need for leverage? Double the field? No, I mean, honestly, anything over 50% is going to be applicable, right? I don't think when he gets that high dollar bill, I don't know if you want to play 2X, right? Like, you can. That's what, to have true leverage, 2X is a good rule. But I think as much as even 50 or 60% is still going to be enough leverage to justify it, right? You're always a good watch. Hey, thanks, Sheldon, you mother father. All right, who's going to WD first, Siwoo or Decky? Ooh, why'd you have to pick the two most obvious ones? Damn. I'm going to say Ty. They're going to do it together, holding hands, skipping all the way to New York from Dallas. All right, which Kim, Siwoo or Tom, or both? I mean, if all things are equal, I'd take Tom Kim. If I'm playing the ownership game, definitely Siwoo. If you're fading Scotty, who are the guys you plan to play in the 9 to 10K range? All of them. No, I'm not playing Jason Day. But, I mean, I really do. If you fade Scheffler, you can easily get Hatton, Decky, Kim, KH Lee, Adam Scott. You can get guys like that in your player pool, no problem, because you're going to be able to fit 2-3 of those guys in every single lineup because you're not paying $11,900 for Scotty Scheffler, right? So you can have a much bigger player pool just by fading one donkey dick. I just don't know if I can do it, man. How much EVR is too much EVR? It's showdown. That's impossible to answer. It's infinity. You can have as much as you want. At week long, I would be hard pressed to play him at over 20%, Christian. Best guy in the 10, 9, and 8K range to make the cut. Oh, in the 10K range, I'm going to go with this Scotty Scheffner guy. I think he'll probably make the cut. In the 9K range to make the cut, I actually think Matt Kuchar will make the cut. If I had to bet one of those guys, I would say Matt Kuchar will make the cut. And in the 8K, the one guy that will definitely make the cut, Steven Yeager. Steven Yeager, there you go. Okay, I'm just going with the donkey dicks. How much Woo plus Woo lineups is too much? Let's see. I actually like both the Woos this week. I think you could have both of those guys, 20%, and you'd be doing all right. All right, what are we moving out of OK so much to give outright winner picks? When I don't know. I've never sports bet, so I look, Kev, here's the thing. I really am a big fan of staying in my lane. There's a lot of guys who do golf betting content, and they do a great job at it. I don't know those streets. They're experts at that. I hope they would acknowledge I'm an expert at DFS, and I don't need to really replace them until I can also become an expert at that, which I would assume would take many years if you ever can become an expert at golf betting. Okay, that would be my answer. So, but probably not moving out of Oklahoma. I do got a dog I need to move out of Oklahoma. If anybody wants to adopt her, sweetest girl you'll ever meet. Hey, there's a like button. Hey, thanks, Anthony. Tell those people, give the like 112 likes. Get out of here. Probably tell them.
Get the fuck out of here.
All right. Hey, Brian, I don't know you, but I like the cut of your jib, brother. Welcome. Let's see here. How are you, mother father? Pretty good, Carl. I love Wednesday nights, man. I just love them. This day goes by so fast. Like, it'll be 1 in the morning night. I'll be like, I just lived a day of life. I feel like I've been up for 2 hours. Let's see. Brant says Minwoo season. Man, I like Minwoo. And I can't believe he's not getting any ownership. I think he's a little overpriced in the eyes of people. I'll play the Minwoo Lee. I'll play him for you, brother. Nobody wants to play him. I'll play him. Plus, he's in that great forgotten about range that I keep talking about. And I'm telling you, one of those guys is going to break the slate this week. You heard it here first. Can I build an all Kim and Woo lineup? You can. I don't know if that's smart, but I think wait. There's three Kims, right? And there's two Woos. I think you're going to come up one short. Who's winning this tournament? Aaron Wise. Duh. It's going to be a great comeback story. It's going to be all over PGA. They'll be doing 30 for 30s over it. And I'll be like, hey, guys, don't forget to interview me about how I made him the one guy I definitely played that week. And I made a sweet Yoda parody of him. Okay. Woo times Kim. Woo Kim times six, Nick. Oh, they're talking to each other. Favorite 8K player? Aaron Wise. Aaron Yoda. Yoda's his name. Is the ownership high? Is the owner percent right on the solver? Let's see. I think the editor uploaded it. Let's see. Ownership. This is my ownership. Yeah, it looks like it's right. Does he still have the old ones in there? Has he not? Yeah, this looks right. This is the updated. How dare you question the editor? What the hell's wrong with you? What's your problem, pal? I'm kidding, girl. Thoughts on Cbez? Like him. I'm a Cbez guy. I used to always have this narrative that Cbez was only good on hard courses, and then I went and looked at the stats, and that's not true. Cbez is actually really good at easy course. Well, not really good, but he's above average at it, right? So, yeah, I'm down for that. Nick, Teddy, pay that man. The editor is money. All that money goes to the editor. All super chats go to the editor. So thank you, Nick. The editor has is going to have enough food to eat for one more week. Thank you for the super chat, Nick. The editor says thank you too. I don't let him talk, so he just trust me. He talks vicariously through me. All right, who is the one guy you're going to show up in the optimal lineup 9K or less? Let's see. A guy that is very like who was I'm trying to think. Some guys that were really high in my optimizer that the optimizer really liked was saying was showing up more was who was it? Who was it? I'm trying to remember who was on there that was like showing up in it more. You want to know 9K or less? Tom Hoagie. There you go. The Hoagles. Old cheesesteak Hoagie. What's the most overrated narrative being discussed this week? Birdie Fest? It is not going to be a Birdie Fest. I'm telling you. Like, everybody thinks that they're going to be shooting minus eights and everything. That's why I'm really attacking tomorrow morning, Thursday morning, because I think that is the one time it will be the closest to a Birdie Fest. But with them taking the easiest hole and now making it one of the hardest holes, I think that, like, I think the course is going to play maybe one stroke under par tomorrow. And where I'm from, that ain't anywhere close to a Birdie Fest. A Birdie Fest is when the course is averaging three under par for the entire field for the day. And I don't think it's going to touch that, Michael. So I think that's the laziest narrative out there. They're going off the last 2 years, and they're not factoring in things like the winds are up this year. The field is down this year. They changed one of the holes. It's a par 71 course now, so it's going to be not dramatically harder, but at least noticeably harder. I think it's going to play closer to average than to easy. P. Lou, if you could drink one drink, ranch water or cold brew, the rest of your life, what would it be? Oh, it'd have to be cold brew, because you know what? Ranch water don't wake my ass up. Okay, have you ever seen Sleepers While I'm Sleepy, P. Lou? Imagine that without a cold brew. It would just be Sleepers While I'm Still Asleep.
All right. What ownership percentage would you go with a 4-entry 2-max 44? How would you optimize the solver, ceilings, projections, etc.? A lot of questions. What ownership percentage would you go with? Would you go with on the 4-entry? Oh yeah. So for that, I think that you just take all the chalk and you multiply it times 0.2. Or 1.2, right? Give it a 20% boost, and that is going to give you. And those condensed fields where they can only, you know, where you can only play 1, 3, 4 lineups, something like that, chalk gets even chalkier. So Jason Day, Scotty Scheffner, guys like that are going to be about 20% higher owned than they will be on my projections. The projections I do are based on what I think it will be for the big pitch and putt for the week, right? All right, from there, Harry Higgs week. I mean, I just don't ever play Harry Higgs, but he does make sense. If I'm ever going to play Harry Higgs, Mike, I play him at an easy course, brother. All right, David Michaeluzzi. I don't know anything about this guy, teaser. I really don't. I saw that he's got some ownership, so somebody's talking his ass up out there. But I honestly don't know a thing about him. And generally speaking, when I guess there was Tolstoy a couple weeks ago. I didn't know shit about him, and he tore it up. But generally speaking, I just fade those guys, and just it's worked out well for me. Other than old War and Peace. Aaron, Tom Kim finishing top five, Bob. If I had to bet, betting, no. But yes, he will. I'm a Tom Kim. I'm a Tom Kim whore. Okay, what do you want to say? And I feel like he's back. I feel like he got a little wayward there for a little bit, and now he's on his way back. All right. By the way, I'm gonna put this out there on the record before the PGA Championship. I think Ricky Fowler's back. I said it. I think Ricky's back. I'm pretty sure he's in the field next week too. I'm gonna play his ass. Why is coming back from a layoff? Yes, Sheldon. Did you watch the show? Favorite 8K play. I know you asked that forever ago. I'm just messing with you. Favorite 8K play. Aaron Wise. Are the big dogs any less alive the week before a major? You know, there is stats supporting that, like, they some of them are less motivated, but there's also stats that some guys fucking tear it up the week before a major. So I don't buy that narrative. You know, I think, you know, if Hatton's in contention, he'll go put his foot on the pedal. Decky will put his the pedal to the metal, is what I meant to say. Those guys will put their, or the foot on the throat, whatever saying you want to use. I don't buy that narrative. I think that maybe if they get off to a slow start, they may not grind to make the cut on Friday afternoon. But as far as win equity, I don't think it affects their win equity at all. I think if they're in contention, they're going to be playing to win this motherfather. All right. Are you playing in the 44 million? Not unless I win a satellite, brother. I don't play in those. Like, if I'm going to waste money on stuff, it's going to be on Fantasy Golf World Championship tickets, okay? I just don't play in negative EV contests, right? GPPs, I'm not interested. So you'll hardly ever see me in Millionaire Makers. You'll hardly ever see me in the big $20 because the price structure in those things sucks. And I've just been programmed in my brain for so long to play in good structured contests. I just can't do it. It's not about money. Trust me, it is not about money. It is about just the principle of the matter. I want to be a man who teaches, or who lives what I preach, right? And so I'm going to be in good contest. And that's why I tell everybody, yes, I'm playing these Fantasy Golf World Championships, but I'm a moron who is chasing tickets because I love them. And I've been there once and they got me hooked. DraftKings does good work. OU or OSU? Well, I graduated from OSU, but Boomer fucking Sooner. All right, who's your favorite leverage play? Give me some Maverick McNeely. Give me some Mavs. Old Mav McNeels. If playing 150 people, 150 lineups, how many people should you keep in your player pool? I always try to keep it right around 26 to 28, Hannah. Pretty tight, but that's how I like it. Loaded statement. What do you think of Rainmakers? I mean, I think it's cool. I like the concept. I'm too busy. And a lot like sports betting, Thomas, I don't want to spend my time trying to act like I'm an expert on something I'm not. There's probably a lot of people that know way more about Rainmakers than I do. I'm really big on trying to stay in my lane. I just want to be an expert in the things that I know. And maybe one day I'll get to that, but I ain't there yet, brother. So I don't really have a great opinion on it yet. Favorite pivot in the 8K range? Man, all of them? Can I say all? Minwoo Lee. Minwoo Lee, there you go. The solver for 1 to 3 lineups, you know, anytime I'm building less than 5 to 10 lineups, I usually hand build MC Floyd just because I know exactly what I want, right? If I'm building 1 to 3 lineups, I have a plan of who I'm going to be playing that week. I start using the solver at about 5 to 10. All right, in the mid 7K range, who would you fade and might be sneaky low owned in that range? In the mid 7Ks, the one guy I would fade is definitely Ben Griffin, and a guy that's going to be low owned is going to be Luke Deman Listeman. Come on Sunday, who will be the one player that you regret playing the most? Scotty Scheffler. I can just feel that I'm going to wean her out and play a little bit. I'm like, I'm too scared. I'm a huge bitch, just like I was with Cam Young last week. When playing a satellite, should you play a riskier plays? I think so. But here's the thing, Chris, and this came up earlier. Somebody sent me a lineup. He sent me a beautiful lineup, right? But it was all pivots. Like, literally all 6 guys were pivots. I don't think in a satellite you need to just play crazy plays. There's a reason chalky guys are chalky. So what I would tell you is when you make a satellite lineup,
You can play two or three very chalky pieces. Just make sure that you have 3 to 4 really good either sleepers or pivots in there just to make yourself different. Don't just play a bunch of crazy random guys or leave a bunch of money on the table or, you know, have a silly build that has no win equity. Don't do that. Just make a point to just at least in 2 to 3 spots, or if you're feeling, if it's a big satellite, maybe 4 spots, just get a little bit different. Go play that low owned sleeper. Go play 2 pivots. Go play, have a build that's very weird. Go play Scotty Scheffler and then a bunch of 8K guys that are being ignored, right? That's really how you can do it. And yes, I do think that you want to get a little bit different satellites, because you got to get first. You got to get first. There's no like, well, I got 10th, so that was still a good payday. No, in a satellite, you're going to get dick for 10th place. Favorite Korean of the week, Tom Kim. Tom Kim, what's your favorite Kim this week? Tom Kim. Favorite chalk play of the week, Scotty Scheffner. Thoughts on Michael Kim this week? Oh, yeah, that's another Kim. I mean, he's been playing really good. I honestly thought he was going to be chalk. He's really not, so I'm not opposed to it, brother. I'm not opposed to it. All right, Zach Blair, latest to WD. We need to change our whole strategy. Wait, Zach Blair just WD tonight? What is going on with this tournament? I know he doesn't have to get ready for a major. Open contest for major? Yeah, yeah, we're going to have it. Hell yeah, 3 entry, $5 max. There you go, Eric. Let's go. Tom Hoagie, yay or nay? Yay. Unless you're a weather truther, then nay. I was hoping Tom Kim is the next king. What happened to his game? He just got a little wayward, and I think that he started playing a lot of hard courses that weren't really suited to his game. That's my theory, right? And the fact that he started to show a little bit of coming back, I like it. And I still worry a little bit about a short game, but I think that's going to be neutralized at this course. All right, let's see. You're a good guy, big guy. Tune in, learn something every week. Hey, appreciate you too, Matthew. The Weather Channel does ads. That's all they do because their weather sucks. They told me it was going to rain all day today. There literally hasn't been a drop of rain in Edmond, Oklahoma all day. Editor, how do I reach out? I'm in second winner. Hey, Sarah, I know that girl. Long time no see, sister. Yeah, editor. He's at the DGen editor on Twitter. I know you're on Twitter, Sarah. So at the DGen editor. That's how you reach out to him. Or you just send me a DM. Either way, Sarah, I'm pretty sure we've chatted before. All in on Walrus Stadler? Not a chance. Stalling from the rafters? Hey, Ed. Shut your mouth. I actually like Scott Stallings. Plus, he won my first GPP, so he's very special to me. Okay. Moving on. Wesley Bryant at 6,100. Lock it in. I'll let you lock it in, pal. You lock it in, pal. Do you have a math background? No, Joe. It's just we all have that worthless skill in life. I'm a human calculator. It really sucks. I wish I could be like one of those dudes that just wakes up and is skinny or buff or something like that. But sadly, all I can do is like mental math. Never once got me laid. It sucks. Okay. Moving on. Looking for question marks. Eric Cole, easy clap this week. I'm an Eric Cole dude, man. I'm an Eric Cole truther. I go run up to the top of the tower and just yell, Eric Cole, and be like, what the hell is that guy doing? Thoughts on English, Bryson DeChambeau, Harry Hall. I think that they all have great hats, right? You got old rope hat. You've got old, and what the hell are those other hats? Those ugly ones that Harry and Bryson wear? That's what I think about them. I think they all have strong hat game. Shank at 13%. That's what the model says, brother. I'm playing 100% CBez. I hope you're playing one lineup because that's a lot to be committed to CBez, brother. Thoughts on Higo and MJ Defew? Well, I like South Africans. Does that count? I think they're both great. I think they're both great. I think those are both guys that excel at easy courses. So I think they're very, very live to play. Do you think KH Lee can three-peat? I mean, of course he can. I think it's very, very unlikely. Very, very unlikely. I mean, I think there's only been like 3 or 4 people that have ever three-peated. Let's see, the outlaw Josie Bramlett. I like that. Joseph, don't call me Joshua Bramlett. Thoughts on Rye this week? Cody, I'm in. I think Aaron Rye is just fine. Okay, old Aaron Pumpernickel, sign my ass up. Is this a bomber's course? I don't think so, Julian. I think it's a course that almost anybody could compete. I wish a guy like Denny McCarthy was here, and I would play him, right? I want guys who can score, and I don't, you know, yes, there's a lot of 200-yard approach shots, but, like, the dirty little secret is most of these guys aren't good at 200-yard approaches. If you look at the average proximity, none of them are particularly great at it. I mean, you know, like they're gods compared to us. Don't get it twisted, but I'm saying, like, it's not like any of them are averaging 10 feet from the pin on 200-yard-plus shots, right? So, like, it's more about, like, who just doesn't shit the bed at over 200 yard shots, right? Who doesn't just flare it out to the right like I would? Approach more important than off the tee? I think they're the two most important things this week. Weirdly, I think I like off the tee more than I like putting, as you probably saw with the model, Bill. Can I slip into your DMs? Sure. You know what? Because I'm not like famous and stuff and like don't have time to like talk to you guys. I don't take myself too serious, man. If you got a question, you can always slip into my DMs. I'll respond. I'm not a fucking weirdo. I don't take myself too serious. Okay. Don't just be like, hey, how's it going today? But like, if you have a legit question, I'm there for you, Brandon. Are you really focused on guys who are better on bent grass? Yeah. You saw the model, about 11%. Oh, Brian, your narrative, you have to look, you're into narrative, have you, or will you write a book? My narrative is going to be called, if I did write a book, it would be called The Lazy Narratives, a PGA DFS community. That would be the name of my book. You've always said that weather edges don't apply to top guys. Are you playing a weather edge and the price cut off? Weather stops? Yeah, so that's a great question, Chris. Didn't you ask a great question last week? Someone asked a great question last week. So here you are, Chris. Generally speaking, I consider usually it's around 8,000 is my cutoff. If I see a distinct weather edge, I'm not playing any guy below 8,000 from the worst side of that weather edge. That's usually how I do it, Chris. Back and forth, so I'm letting you decide. We're going Lonto this week? Rashad, I am going to guarantee you that you should not play Lonto this week, okay? Do not play Lonto because he is withdrawn. You owe me, sir. You owe me for this advice. Trust me, I know. I wanted to play Lonto too. Who's the one guy you're playing? Bro. Anton. Welcome to the show, bro. Jay, what extra content available joining Showdown on your website versus joining VIP? Yeah, so VIP will get you all the week-long stuff, my sleepers, my ownership, all of that. The Showdown stuff will only get you Showdown, obviously, right? I think it's like 90% of people sign up for the full VIP because most people play Showdown and week-long. But it's up to you, brother, whatever you want to do. Some people, there's a handful of guys that just want Showdown. Okay, well, I'll just give you Showdown, big guy. Aaron Wise is the man you like, so I like. I mean, I don't blame you, brother. Let's see. Oh, man, we got a lot of questions. Jesus, I got to stop. All right. Jay Butler, the site is worth it, man. Hey, thanks, Anthony. Sell. Kicking the nuts? Yeah, we're playing kicking the nuts. I love kicking the nuts week long. You know what? You know what I've started doing for kicking the nuts? I just make it satellites for the Fantasy Golf World Championships, and then that's a kick in the nuts, and it cancels out the week long kick in the nuts, so it's almost like I'm not getting a kick in the nuts anymore. I'm stuck at 8,100 in cash. Keep falling to Hadwin. Any thoughts? I do not love Hadwin in cash. If I'm stuck in that range at cash, I wish you could get to Jaeger, which sucks because he's 82. But I guess you could probably do worse than Bez or Bramlett. I think both of those would probably be where I'd finish. Aaron Wise or Adam Hadwin or both? Both. Both. Or I'm in Oklahoma. We put an L, so it's both. All right. Thoughts on Stevens? He's number one in my model, Brittany. He must be a god. I mean, he's good, man. He's good. He's just so good. He's good. I like him. I do. I'm going to have a hard time not playing him. Where are we at? Where are we at? What's up, Mother Father? Make sure you hit that like button. Thanks, Delbs. Tell him. Tell the people. We're at 133. Let's see if we get to 200. I like when my streams get 200 because then YouTube's like, okay, fine. Some people like it. We'll share it. Look, I'll never be the biggest guy in this community, but I can be the leader of the little try-hard community, and some more people need to find us, and the only way we'll do it is just getting them one at a time by hitting the like button. Weather affecting AM, PM, tea times tomorrow? Oh, definitely. We already talked about that. Go back and watch the replay, Paul. Don't want to talk about it all again. Is anyone in the history of the world profitable in week-long? Yeah, but they've probably hit $1 million or 100,000 several times. I'm up at week long all time MBOT, but like 10 or 12% all time versus Showdown, astronomically higher percentage. Because you only got to hit, I've hit probably about 12 to 15 big ones over the past 5 or 6 years, and it really keeps you afloat, right? So, but generally speaking, I think it's something like 97 to 99% of people are probably down at week long. Apologies if you've answered this, but the point of the season where you believe that recent form is 100% usable and thus important to eliminate players with several missed cuts to your pool. Yeah, I do really like, because we have really good data to go off of. They're playing, several times leading up to these contests. So the more and more this year progresses on, the more and more I do like recent form, right? Let's see. Is 150 full AM PM stacks too reckless? No, I mean, no. Look, Jordan, this is what I say this all the time. Your picks suck. My picks suck. Everybody's picks suck. So pick your angle and go with it. And if it ends up being like a two-shot difference, I don't think that's likely, but if it ends up happening, then you are going to have a major leg up on the field. You'll have much higher 6-of-6 rates. You'll likely have way more guys up in the top 10 than you should from your player pool. So I don't hate it. I mean, what's the worst that happens, right? I highly doubt it's going to backfire. I'd say worst case scenario, you just break even. And now you got one guy from this wave as opposed to this wave. But honestly, they were probably 50-50 to do the same anyway. So who gives a shit? Okay. Everybody's just so protective of their picks. Let's build our lineup. Hey, let's build this lineup. Wait, did Brittany win? Brittany, if you won, reach out to me. Gaddy, Long time no see. I cashed all but 1 week since being a member and was top 10 in the big tournament until it faded. Make good money in the Masters. Sign up. Quality content. We're going to leave on that one, Caddy. Great sell. Don't forget to go check out my underdog video. Like and subscribe. Check out the website. Don't forget we're giving away tons of shit next week because, you know, not a pour. I appreciate all you guys for being here. I know it's a slow week and we still stayed over 200 the whole time. I appreciate every single one of you motherfathers. I know you could be many other places, but you're here with me and I appreciate you. This has been fun. It's been awesome. I'm thankful for every single one of you. I hope you guys have a good night, but most of all, I hope you enjoy this outro.